Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Risk is that you never get anybody back.
I'll just keep saying good afternoon.
Here, go big party style.
If you can hear me, put your hands on your head. If you can hear me, put your hands on your shoulders, nose, ears, head, shoulders, knees, head, ears, chin, nose. Very good.
Here, Leonard had that.
Leonard did have that. I can't do that. And
here,
that
Leonard, there's a kids' worship open day next week. We need people to do actions.
Amazing. Good afternoon. It is 10 past 12 on a wonderful Sunday morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Amy. This is Jimmy. You did a great job there. That was great. You should get a wee slot on BBC News. I love that. We have the joy of... I don't know how you're going to fit it in, but sure. How we go. We are the Generations Coordinators here at this place we call home, a church at LUV. And we are so thrilled to bring you some updates to fill you in on kind of what's going on all these wonderful spaces that you don't get to really see, which is a bit sad. So we thought we'd bring it to you for this morning. Does that sound right? Cool, great. Whether you have been a part of the family here for a while, whether you have joined over the last few weeks, whether you've been on holiday for the last few weeks, or you've come this morning for the first time, you may know that we have had a bit of a shift and have moved into a new venue space next door, which has been such a gift to us as church family. Some of the stories of how people are using the space, people that are being invited in, the caribou slot as well next door. Praise Jesus for a flat white on a Monday morning. I am loving it. Amen. So many amazing opportunities, specifically for our kids and our young people, that we have the gift of journeying alongside. And with your help and your feedback together, we've been able to craft a really clear discipleship pathway for our young people from 0 to 18 through 6 ministry and programmed environments, which is phenomenal. So thank you for your messages, for your voice notes, for your pictures from your kids, for your feedback, for your thoughts. All the things have been so, so helpful. And the one question kind of at the forefront of our mind through all of this to kind of align the vision and the thoughts and where we want to go is this: what kind of disciple will our children be at 18, and how can each of our generation's programs from the very beginning be laying foundations for the next one to build on? And so what we're going to do is just remind you of the little flow of the ministry environments, and then we're going to tell you some stories because they're very fun. And so if you're not aware, we have 6 kind of programmed ministry environments, but there are a few more spaces that you're welcome to use and to meet Jesus in with your children and your families on a Sunday morning. The family space and pre-party are at the back of the venue here. They are for anybody from 0 to preschool inclusive. So if you've got a toddler, you're welcome to use that space. You also are welcome to stay here if you'd like. It's just an option. But also, family space is for anybody who just needs a quieter space to watch church, to engage, to worship, to connect as well. And there are loads of lovely faces in there on a Sunday morning. It is at the back of the venue. Then we have Little Party, which is for nursery to P1, nursery including P1, which happens next door in the forum, which is downstairs in the new space. And those guys start right from the beginning of church from 9:30. There's a program running in there, and 11:30, you guys all do 11:30. There's a program running in there with a wonderful team of people who are doing worship, they're facilitating ministry spaces, they're doing crafts, they're learning stories, they're making friends. It's all happening in there. After Little Party, we move on to Big Party, which is for P2 to P5 inclusive, and is upstairs in the loft. Those guys do worship together, like Tim has just said, and then they split off into their Big Party and After Party slot. Are we tracking? Great. In the after party, which is for P6s and P7s, it runs just during the 11:30 service. And for those of you with kids in after party, you've been amazing at bringing them to the 11:30, where they are making friends, they're in small groups, they're getting ready to see each other every week, and they're loving it. So thank you if you've got a child in P6 or P7 for making the effort to come to the service that is on. After party, it is on to youth, and youth is for anybody in... Did you say youth? Youth. These guys don't go to youth, they'll not know what that means. Youth. Those for anybody in secondary school, so from first year right up to upper sixth, we gather on Sunday evenings upstairs in the loft as well. And that is what is going on.
Lots going on.
We are working on some lovely signage. The wonderful Alex is making lots of lovely graphics and banners and all the things to help navigate this building. It is a bit of a maze. We feel very at home here. I feel like we've been here for about 6 months. And it's been 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
Four.
4 weeks? Very cool. What we want to do, though, is just bring you up to speed on a few stats. We all love a stat. There's going to be a lot of stats today. Lots of stats. Just so you can kind of get a feel for the impact that this new space that you've all given so generously to facilitate is making for families and for our kids. Pre-venue next door, on average, the last 3 or 4 weeks before next door opened, between little party and big party, we had about 80 to 85 kids in rooms, which is phenomenal, between both services, in little party and in big party. Post-venue launch, so the last few weeks, for both services, for little party, big party, and then after party, which is the P6s and P7s that were in big party, we have had about 155 across both services, which is that double, more than double? Nearly double, which is phenomenal. When you add in youth, that takes us to over 200, and that does not include those that make use of family space, that are in pre-party, or the volunteer team, and the young people that help lead that as well, and the worship guys up there too. So if anybody wants to do the numbers and all of that, you do that and let me know.
I heard Chris McNaught's really good with numbers.
Chris McNaught is good with numbers. You can do it for us, and we'll come back next week and let you know. Which is phenomenal. It's so crazy. And we want to invite as many of you to join in with what's going over there as possible. And although we could sit here and tell you about how significant and wild and wonderful and full of life those rooms are, what we would love to do on a day, this Generation Sunday, is allow some of the kids that are in those spaces to tell you themselves what goes on and what happens. The only issue is we can't get them out of the room to come and tell you. They won't leave over there to come over here and let you know. So what we've done is we've asked them, and I've jotted down to some of their little thoughts. I'm going to share some of their stories with you now. So, little party, it's really fun. I like that you can throw balls in the ball pit and do the hand thing, like splat them on paper with the paint. We're assuming that's a craft.
I hope so.
We're not redecorating. It's all good. Splat them on paper with the paint on them. I love colouring in, singing songs to Jesus, decorating pictures, and learning about Jesus' stories. One of our little party kids senses that Jesus is asking us to be kind to each other, which is really significant. And another little party kid said, Jesus speaks to me and all of my friends with the songs that we sing, and then we get to sing them back to him. Yeah. Big party, I love that we have our own kids' worship band now. We all love that. I like hearing what everybody had for breakfast in their house. I'm playing with the parachute and making crafts. Lovely. And another big party one, we love when we lie still and we talk to Jesus. I like feeling calm. It's good fun to pray for friends when they're sick or they're sad, or when Jesus says it's a good idea to pray for them. It's nice that they're talking about Jesus, isn't it? It's not just all about games and craft. After party then. So we have a few stories from after party too. The change to after party is good because it's like God is telling you that changes are good and maybe it's time for more change. I love after party because of the breakfast, the worship and the crack with friends my own age. Lots of love for the croissants. After party for me, I think, is an amazing opportunity to learn about God through the Bible. After party isn't just about fun. It's also about talking to God through the Bible. And I think the new building is great because it has more space to run and hang out with my friends and family. And the last little one says, I like the church notebooks at after party. They have a journal. It's a little discipleship journal, just in case you're like, what are they doing? I like the church notebooks at after party, and of course the breakfast. You have to love breakfast. I love the way it's so chill and it's so calm. I like that we do worship as an entire group and then we split up and get back together again at the end. I love that I already knew a named child from my school. Amy and Jamie make quite a double act, which I think is really funny.
Yes.
It's more serious than big party, but that's good, and everyone is the same age. And that's some of the stories from a handful of our kids in the room. So as you can tell, our kids love the new space, the opportunity it's opened, and they actually just really love church. They love being here. A few weeks ago in after party, we were doing a little activity where we were talking about how life with Jesus is a great adventure. It's the wildest of adventure. And then we sang the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song. That was great. But we were talking about how these little coins that we collect are our little treasured memories with Jesus and little pillars in our faith when we look back when we're adults. And so we wrote down together and put them in our treasure box some of the things that we've already experienced. And then we wrote down things that in 20, 30 years' time, we would love to look back and say that we were able to put them in our box because there was something we experienced with Jesus. And one of our little girls, she's in P6, she only had one coin that she hadn't put in her box yet. It was the only one. She didn't want to write anymore. And she wrote on her coin, that is her prayer every night. She goes home and she thinks about it, and she prays every night to Jesus that when God, when she's an adult, that God would give her a job, that she doesn't have to work a Sunday, because she thinks it's the saddest thing that grown-ups have to miss church to go to work. And she's in P6, and she is, this is her one coin that she really hopes when she's an adult she can put in her box and be like, Jesus honored that, and I get to come to church, and I don't have to miss it because I have to go to work. And so something is happening, something is moving. The Spirit is at work in our kids' rooms Sunday mornings, but also on Sunday evenings at youth.
Yes, at the youth. Yes, we do this bit of call and response thing, so we're going to do it here because I have a microphone. So usually we go youth, and then all of our youth shout back, youth, it's Y-O-O-F, so not youth, we're not being posh, youth. Are you up for it? Yes. I'm going to call, you respond, right? Youth! Yes. Unbelievable. If this is your first Sunday, we're a bit unhinged, but it's all good. We have so many stories coming out of our youth environments as well. And again, just to put some stats around what we're trying to quantify what the Spirit's been up to. In the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, we have seen 6 young people give their lives to Jesus for the first time. We have seen 3 of our young people healed because of the prayers and laying on of hands of our other young people. We have had 3 of our young people in the last 2 months feel physically delivered from something. So whether that's anger, fear, or anxiety, they've had physical deliverances. And we've had so many more stories of the activity of the Spirit, whether it's operating in the prophetic for the first time with words of knowledge, whether it's sensations of the Spirit's presence. The stories are wild. I shared a few months ago a story of a kid in Alpha who never believed in Jesus, and he went to bed one night, and while he was sleeping, Jesus turned up in a dream that he had, and he woke up and he gave his life to Jesus, and he just carried on with his life thinking this was incredibly normal until we clocked it that day in Alpha and had a chat. But one of my favorite stories over the last few weeks has been of one of our young people feeling set free by the Lord. And one night, you've heard stories, I'm sure, of rumors of what's been going on at youth, but we're meant to finish at 8 and we ended up finishing at like 9:30, maybe after that, because our young people just wouldn't leave. They were on their knees and their faces before the Lord, praying and crying out to him. And we opened it up maybe like 45 minutes after we were supposed to end, and be like, if anyone needs to leave, like, your parents are outside, please go, like, it's okay. And nobody moved, nobody flinched. So we're like, okay, well, why don't you just come? If you sense the Lord doing something in the room, come and we'll open the mic and you can share it with the room. And so some people got up and shared some words, and one of our young people got up and he grabbed the mic and he was visibly really emotional, and he tried to put into words what he was experiencing with the Lord himself. And all he said was, for months I've been eaten up by anger. I've just been so angry all the time, but tonight I'm free. God has set me free. Yes, Jesus is so good. There's no denying for us that the spiritual temperature in all of our generation's environments has been turned up significantly. And whenever I think of the words of the prophet Joel, that this, when the Spirit is poured out, the young and the old will see dreams and visions of the kingdom breaking in, I can't help but feel, and we've had so many conversations about this, because you don't want to be the people who are like, it's an outpouring of the Spirit, you know, something's happening, revival's here. But genuinely, there is no denying that the Lord is doing something here at the moment. And we already know that you don't want to miss out on that. And so, as Amy shared, we've moved into the venue next door. And the reality is that we need some volunteers quite urgently. See how I segued that? You didn't see that coming. Maybe you did. You've been around long enough. But the reality is, for us, our programs are running and they're functional. And we have phenomenal leaders. But the reality is, for us to continue operating at the capacity in terms of discipleship and experiences of God and the Spirit, the reality is we need some more people in the room. And we don't just need extra hands. We don't just want more numbers to get more of you plugged in somewhere in church, although that is great. What we really need are disciplers. People to put an arm around the very youngest in our community and say, hey, this is where I've been. I'm a little further down the road and you can go there too, and here's how you get there. And yeah, we want to enjoy it. We want to invite you. to come and join the journey there. If you're sitting there going, wow, that's amazing. Not really for me, though. I hear you. I was there, too. And we've been laughing this week, Stu, Chris, and I, where Stu and Chris invited me for a coffee like 3 years ago. And I remember it vividly because Euro 2021 was on in the background. And they were like, we're going to do this thing with youth in September, and we think you'd be really good. Do you want to join the team? And I sat back in my chair and went, it's not really for me. And I had no passion. I'm just being really honest. I had no passion for youth ministry. It didn't excite me. I didn't feel called to it, whatever that means. And here we are, 3 years later. I have the privilege of leading that with Amy and with Chris. And it has been a phenomenal ride. But the reality is that we don't realize the Lord has put seeds in our heart or passions in our heart until we actually step into them. Or even step into things and then go, this isn't it, but this is. And so, I throw it out to you. Come and join the party. Whether it's pre-party or after-party, there is a party for you. Whatever age group, whatever ministry method. Here, this wasn't rehearsed. I can keep going. but if you, whatever your passion or lack thereof, we can help you. We can have that conversation. We want to help find a space for you. To be really specific, Andy told me my number was too low. To be really specific, we probably need about 20 more volunteers right across all of our kids' spaces. And I can break that down for you if you want me to afterwards. But that's just the crux of it. We need about 20 more volunteers, especially coming through the summer and into September, to make the most of this wonderful new space we have. So please come, join the party. I'm going to stop speaking now. You can grab us after the service if that interests you. Or if you would rather to send us an email, you can do that, jamie@lagonvalleyvineyard.com, and we would love to pick that up with you. Amy Woods, this is the main event. What's happening now?
Well, from one exciting thing to the other, this time next week, 12 of us will be, I imagine, halfway through security at Stansted.
Yes, all being well.
On our way to Albania, which is very exciting. Today is a very significant day. It kind of marks a commissioning day for our young people. This is the first time we have ever taken a team of young people from here and sent them on global mission. And so what we're going to do this morning is chat to some of our young people. We're going to make some space to pray for them. And then we're also just going to kind of mark the moment together as a church family. And so the four of you know who you are. Chloe Boyd as well. Up you can. Come on, come on, come on.
Yes.
Up you can. Amazing. So this is four of nine young people coming to Albania, and Jimmy and Chloe and I will be leading the team. We're going to ask them a few questions to kind of frame their why and what they're expecting Jesus to do and the Spirit to move in and through us when we're in Albania. I'm going to chat to Charlotte and Christian, and then Chloe is going to ask Levi and Lana a few questions. If you've never met Charlotte Nichols, this is Charlotte Nichols. Everyone say, morning, Charlotte. Morning, Charlotte. If you don't know Charlotte, get to know Charlotte. She's very great. Charlotte, how, as a young person in youth, could you describe kind of what's been going on over the last little while in youth? And what do you kind of sense we as a team can carry from that to Albania next week?
So for anyone who doesn't know, we meet here every Sunday night for youth, and we do a game, and then there's a talk, and then we do some worship. But just over the last wee while, there's been like a shift from going and having some crack and then fitting in a wee bit of Christian stuff to like just a yearning for God in the hearts and minds of the youth and the young people. There's been worship and praying for and with friends, and one night we ran over to like 9:30. There were people just on their knees before God worshiping and praying because no one wanted to leave. And I think that relates to mission, because like what it says in the Bible, like Matthew 28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Like once we know God and we experience God, like we are called to spread that.
That's good. Great job. Thanks for that. Amazing. This is Christian. Everyone say hi, Christian. I spent 10 minutes with Christian and want to give my life back to Jesus again and again and again and again. You're great. We're thrilled that you're coming to Albania. Christian, could you tell us a little bit about why you signed up to come along?
I just felt I was being called to do it. I felt God said, this is for you. You go and do it. I also think it's important because Jesus gave me a passion to help other people and realize that their life can change the way mine also has. That's why I signed up for the Albania team, to help other people get closer to God, build a relationship with him. I think mission teams are important because for the likes of Albania, as a Muslim-majority country, a mission is important because I wouldn't want people to not have a chance to hear the word of God and all the great things he can do. Mission is the way I play my part in that, by spreading the word of Jesus.
That's great. Amazing. Lana and Levi are going to chat a little bit about what we're expecting to see when we get there. Chloe, before that, do you want to tell us a little bit about what we're going out to do?
So OM's kind of mission statement, their vision is to make passionate disciples of Jesus followers among the least reached. And so we're going to be diving in. The church is still relatively young and new in Albania. And so we're going to be linking up, doing some training with the youth and the people in the church in Albania, and then running a kids club. So these guys have free reign. We've given them, like, they're in charge of the whole thing. So, yeah, we're very excited to get in and then do some evangelism on the streets and just kind of fill the need in where the people that are kind of pushed to the outskirts and the people that are the least reached, to bring them in and make them a part of the community. So, yeah. Next up, we have Lana. Everyone say hi to Lana. We'll keep this going. As you can tell, we are very excited about the chance to go away. So, Lana, what are you most excited about for as we head away next week?
I'm going to Albania to see what God does when I make myself available for him to use in whatever way he wants to. I'm excited to see what he does in Albania and also how I might be changed through this experience.
And finally, we have Levi. Everyone say hi to Levi. He has had some very significant words of prophecy and encouragement in the last few months in youth. And so we've asked him to sit with Jesus and see what he thinks he might be leading us into. So what do you think God is leading LVV youth as a whole into in this time?
So LVV, it's built on extending branches and vines into the surrounding communities. And I think he's really calling us as youth into that. Because youth, we've kind of got our own little bubble that we don't leave often. And I think it should be a good thing to be pushed out of the bubble. And I feel like that he's calling us to be involved in the communities. That, I mean, wherever that is, here, abroad. So I've done a few Serve Sundays, and they've been really good experiences just by the fact that I've helped someone and just shown a little bit of God's love to them. So really what I believe he's doing is he's pushing us elsewhere, not keeping us stationary in one spot, and he's pushing us into different parts of Northern Ireland and to get involved with communities.
Amazing, thank you. Guys, can you give them a huge round of applause? You guys can have a seat. Amazing. Great job. As you can tell, we have a very talented and Jesus-loving bunch of young people that we are thrilled to take to Albania. And we are so expectant for what God's going to do in and through them. And so we're ready for some stories when we come back. We're going to pray for them in just a minute. But first, Chris and Andy are going to lead us into kind of realigning all of this together. What did I do? Everyone say, hey, Chris.
Over to you.
Yes. So we want to take a few minutes. We're nearly there before we pray for our Albanian team and anyone else in the room that's heading away on summer teams, to just kind of, reflect a little bit on how we've got here and the significance of this moment, because sometimes life just kind of happens. And we can really easily miss some of the stuff that Jesus is doing with us. And there's a couple of things that happen when we miss it. One is we don't actually get to say thank you, which is important. But two, there's a bit of a principle in the kingdom of God that, like, what God releases to us, he wants us to steward and multiply. And if we don't notice what we've got, we're not able to actually steward it properly. And, you know, the reality is what's happening with us right now was not always the case. And I know for some of you that have maybe joined this community recently, especially if you've joined this in the last 3 weeks, and you're like, gosh, Lagan Valley Vineyard is an amazing building. Like for 95, 6, 7, 8% of Lagan Valley Vineyard's existence, the opposite was true. Like we existed in some of the weirdest spaces or not fit for purpose spaces you can imagine. And when it comes to our kids and youth ministry particularly, what we are able to do, what the guys have just outlined, is an absolute dream, genuinely a dream come true for us. I told the 9:30 this morning that whenever Lagan Valley Vineyard went public, we met in a little shop front in Haslam's Lane, and Noor was 11 months old. That's our daughter, who'll be 13 in the autumn. She was 11 months old when we started. And we used to put her in a cupboard upstairs. Literally, we put her in a cupboard upstairs because church happened during her nap time. And she went in a pram that could kind of collapse into like a little cot. And there was a plug socket up there that we could plug the monitor into, and then somebody got the other end of the monitor. Usually Cherith Cousins sometimes got that, the monitor, and whenever Cherith's here, whenever Noor woke up, then whoever had the monitor went upstairs to the cupboard and got her out of the pram and brought her downstairs. That was children's ministry in Lagan Valley Vineyard. That's not a joke. Like that's literally what our kids' ministry looked like. Whenever our twins were born 6 months later, they just got handed to people whenever we arrived at church, and it was like pass the parcel with Andy and Dana's twins, as they just got bored with somebody and they just got handed off. It's just really important you recognize that, because it's so easy if you're showing up now into all of this to go, oh, well, this is who we are and this is what we do. And yes, of course it is, but it has not always been the case. And there are a number of factors and reasons that have got us to here. Chris is going to walk us through some of that, and then I'm going to land this as we pray for our team. So over to you, big lad.
Great. I like your slippers. Not often do I get to make fun of what people wear on the stage. Usually me is the person who experiences that. So just this Sunday is a significant Sunday in the life of our community for a whole host of reasons. But in order to do that, I'd love to walk us through a little bit of the story up until now to, I guess, testify to God's faithfulness in our midst and among our generations. Up until this time last year, I was the youth pastor here. It was one of the great joys of my life, and I'm still clinging on to youth work for as long as I can until they tell me I'm too old. The story around that is I was approached 13 years ago when we planted a church. Andy sat me down in a coffee shop in Lisburn and said, Chris, go start a youth movement in our city. We had no building. We had no young people. We had no money, including money to pay me. It was a voluntary role. And he was very specific. He said, don't start a ministry, start a movement. And we don't just want to gather young people. We want to reach young people, disciple them, and release them into what they have. And I started working here in the paid role. I went to the States, came back in 2017, and I joined the staff team here. And in my first year, Stu and Andy got me to write a vision document outlining what we wanted to see God do. And I listed all the things I thought essentially I could do. And then Andy said that you can do that. That's not following Jesus, because the context for the commission, the context for discipleship is a possibility. And if it's not impossible, it's a to-do list. It doesn't require the Spirit. You should just do it. Like what is impossible to see God do here in this place that we call home? And I went away and I began to dream about it. And I produced a document. I was looking through it this week. And there's essentially 10 elements to that document that we want to see God do in the next 5 to 10 years in our community. I'm going to read through them really quick. And they range from achievable to outrageous. But number one, we want to see a weekly youth gathering here. We want to see a small group model for young people, for teenagers to be discipled with intentionally. We wanted a young leaders development stream where we were developing the next generation of leaders. We want an expression of worship with the emphasis of youth leading youth. We want a civic-wide presence in schools in Lisburn. We wanted to engage in pioneering youth movements, not just here, but in all of Ireland and across our movement. We want a generational engagement where the heart of the old were turned towards the young. We wanted a yearly rhythm, an invitation of camp. We wanted an expression of local mission, and we also wanted an expression of global mission. We, I, I, issued the vision statement, and then I went after it as hard as I could, and then COVID happened. And it pretty much destroyed all of our momentum. And we came out the other side of COVID with very, very few young people and a few leaders who are actually in this room who served over lockdown, over COVID. And we started from scratch. That was 3 years ago. Currently, we have 50 to 60 teenagers attending youth every week. Our attendance for one and two is around 90 to 100. We have 45 teenagers involved in intentional discipleship small groups in our community that happen on Sunday mornings. Our 16 and 17-year-olds have become our youth leaders who are leading in these environments. We have teenagers leading team times, ministry times. We had Caleb Lewis, who's 14, who was preaching a few months ago in youth, and also leading worship. We are engaged in every school in Lisburn, apart from one, and watch this space, because we're going there. So much so that we've had to hire staff to keep up with the demand and the growth of what God's doing through Youth Alpha in schools. LVV Youth, along with Emmanuel Youth, run Nua Youth, and I don't even have time to get into what the Lord did in our youth tent last week. There was adults leaving the adult space to come to the youth tent because they wanted to stay there, and it was just absolutely incredible and significant and beautiful. It's all the things we pray for alive in a generation before our eyes. We're also in the process this year of helping develop and pioneer other youth ministries inside our movement, and that's us just offering our experience and our volunteers and a little bit of finance around also helping other youth ministries blossom, not just here in Lisburn, but across Ireland. This time last year, we had 30 sign-ups for Move, and we brought 95 to Move last year. That was a week after New last year, we had 30. At the moment, we have 74 sign-ups for Move. We're going to be well over 100. I think there's a good chance we'll need to book a third 50-seater coach to head down to the camp. So much of that is because you guys have chosen to put your hands in your pocket and pay to sponsor kids that are sitting in Youth Alpha schools who have no church experience, no engagement with Jesus, to send them to a camp that will honestly change their lives. And so I just want to say thank you so much for your engagement across the generations as you've gave to make room to what God is doing. And now, this is why this Sunday is so significant, because now we are sending a team on global mission. Everything that we've longed for and dreamed of is alive in our community, and hear me, there is so much more that we want to lean into, we want to prioritize, and we want to steward. But it's been 3 years. We left COVID, it was just me heading up kids and youth. We now have three staff, not including me, over our youth and kids environments. And we're seeing God do some outrageous things among us. Some stats, they're rough stats, but they are helpful. In the last 3 years, thousands, and this is genuinely, thousands of teenagers in our city have sat through Youth Alpha. That's not just like us stopping in the street and giving them a 3-minute presentation of the gospel. That is sitting with them for hours and weeks in classrooms, telling them about who Jesus is, asking them questions, and us being open to them. We have had well over 100 teenagers make a decision to follow Jesus in the last 3 years, and around 60 of those have been baptized in the last 3 years. According to cultural experts, the church was dead 3 years ago as we left COVID. And according to blog posts and masterclasses and all sorts of cultural analysts, they said that youth ministry was on its knees and it would never survive. Our God knows his way out of the grave. And it's easy to miss it, and it's easy to not perceive it, because it's packaged often in our everyday ordinary lives and in our weeks. But what we are seeing is a generational move of God before our very eyes. For those who are able to perceive it and see it in our midst, in this generation, is the future leaders, preachers, prophets, teachers, evangelists, missionaries for Lisburn, Ireland, and to the ends of the earth. In the past, this little place that we called home was known for us trying to kill each other. Now we're seeing a generation that is willing to die for each other as they lay down their lives for their friends, their families, and the sake and mission of Jesus here and now. The battle cry of this generation is to live as Christ and to die as gain. It is revival, renewal, or outpouring, or we die. This generation could not care less about rumors or stories about God. They don't care about it. They want to experience it firsthand, the reality of God alive in their lives, in their families, in their schools, and this place that we call home. I had a young person a few weeks ago come to me in youth, and he was trying to figure out if he wanted to give his life to Jesus. He'd had some moments, and he'd heard about what God was doing, and I've never really done this before, but I almost stopped him and said, just what do you want to experience God for yourself? Do you want him to prove himself to you that he is real and alive and wants your heart? And he was like, yeah. He was like, well, then wait and ask him to show up. We did an altar call at Nua on Saturday night. Seven teenagers stood for the first time in a room of 200 young people to give their lives to Jesus. He was the second one to stand. And he has an experience of God firsthand, not a rumor, but the reality of God firsthand. Lagan Valley Vineyard, the story of the next generational awakening is underway. And it is my belief that this little community in Lisburn have more than a part to play in what God is doing across the earth. See, here's what's interesting. And you can I encourage you all to study past outpourings and renewals. I don't know if I've got time for this, but we're going to go there. There's something significant that happens in the culture and in the church when we see outpourings of the Spirit. And what that essentially is the stats don't align with the stories. Something begins to swim upstream that is against the grain of what we're understanding in the world around us. That is a move of God. I want to read you some stats from the Open Generation. It's a massive barn of research. I just want you to listen to these stats for a second and compare them to what we're seeing in terms of stories. 1 in 3 teens right now in Gen Z believe that the Bible's teachings are relevant for today. That's 33%. 4 out of 5 young people say there are no good leaders or examples to follow. 87% of Gen Z agree that they have the ability to make a meaningful impact in the world if they had the encouragement and leaders to show them how to take the steps. 70% of teenagers lose their faith as they journey into being a young adult. In America right now, 1 million teenagers are walking away from the faith every year. That means in the West, we are 2 generations away from a mass exodus of the faith. Gen Z are searching for answers. And they are looking for people to follow. They are an open generation. The question is, are we an open church? And I think the last 3 years can tell you that we are. In the kingdom of God, when we see things that are desolate and dire, we recognize them as opportunities for the kingdom of God to break in and to break out. And if you're familiar with revival history, it's in these kinds of moments, surrounded by these sorts of stats, where we see an outpouring of the Spirit in our midst. And the question is, are we going to lean into it and embody it? The stories and the stats don't add up. And we have no interest in raising safe followers of Jesus that can tick box through their life with Jesus. And we are for formation. We are passionate about formation. But we want to raise strong followers of Jesus that step out from this space into the world around them to demonstrate the ways of Jesus in their everyday settings. And listen, this is not tokenistic Sundays. This is not tokenism for youth ministry or for kids ministry. The Bible is full of teenagers making a significant impact in the story of God on this earth. The disciples were around 13 to 15 when they decided to follow Jesus. David was 15 when he slayed Goliath. Josiah was 8 years of age when he came to a throne. 8 years of age, and he led a national revival by the age of 20. There is biblical precedent that our youth and the generations carry the Spirit and carry the move of God in our midst. And here's what we need to realize, is the context for streams are deserts. And the context for ways are in the wilderness. And so when we look at things around us that look like a wilderness or look like a desert, they may be the very places in which God wants to move and to pour his Spirit upon. It's been 3 years. And the worst possible thing is that we just look back in 3 years and celebrate what God's done. What if we recognized it? What if we seen it for all that it was throughout all the ordinary and we lent in with everything that we had to see what God could do in another 3 years? Because it's my suspicion that this is not stopping anytime soon. And we are just scratching the surface of what the Lord is wanting to do in our midst and around us and in this generation. Andy.
So I was supposed to teach Matthew 28 on commissioning now. You'll be very glad to know I'm not going to do that. We're slightly out of time. But there's 2 things that I want to probably really highlight. One of my favorite verses in the entire scriptures in Romans 4, where Paul is describing the God that we worship. And he describes God as the one who brings dead things to life and who calls things into being that are not. And just in case you didn't notice, like, we're actually living in that. Like, that's actually what's happened in front of our eyes in every kind of way, not just with our kids or young people, but particularly with our kids or young people, is things that didn't exist now exist. And the way that God actually does that is not through kind of like storks. It's not like you just wake up one morning and like, oh, here's this like thing from God that didn't exist and now exists. It's through people that love him showing up with open hands and open hearts to say yes. Just so we have this on the record, you have a master's degree in building youth ministries, right? No, he doesn't. No. He doesn't have any formal training in youth work. We didn't send him away to America to go and do some sort of super intensive on like learning how to do this. This is so important that you understand this, because we hear these sorts of stories and think the qualified get called, and that's not what happens. It's those that show up before Jesus with something going on in their heart of a change they want to see in the world that's beyond them. Version one of the vision document was just so doable. Like, I just thought it's not a waste of time. Go do it if you have some time, but it doesn't need Jesus. But God asks us to give our lives to things that are impossible without him. And it's as we say yes to the things that feel so beyond us. And in this room right now, it won't all be kids and youth ministry. There'll be all sorts of different spheres and sectors and things that are swirling in your own heads and hearts that are the context for the impossible of God to come alive in your life. That is normal, bog standard, ordinary Christianity. Not trying to get yourself to church. Don't drink too much, don't swear too much, and generally be a good person. Lana said it so beautifully when she was describing what she's longing for her time in the Albanian team, of like, what's God going to do with me when I make myself available to him? And do you know, it's so interesting that we can go through our days and our weeks and our jobs and our lives and not make ourselves available to him at all. Or we can show up tomorrow morning in whatever your ordinary is, with a, Jesus, what do you want to do with me here? We are in a fairly extraordinary moment as a community, particularly when it comes to our kids and our young people. And the question that I would ask all of you as your pastor is, how serious are you about Jesus right now? Because we have a bunch of kids who are going, we've had enough of a bit of crack and some Christian stuff. We're over that. I think the way Charlotte described it was our youth show up with a yearning for God. I don't know if you've ever had this experience as a leader of, there go my people, I better follow them. This is what it feels like. And for those of us as adults, guys, we have to see what's going on. That our kids and our young people are desperate for Jesus and for him to be alive in their lives. And so the question comes to us, how serious are we about what God's doing? And how willing are we to actually say, God, here's my life? Paul writes to the Corinthians, you have many teachers, but you don't have many parents. And you know, the reality is, particularly for our kids and young people, but I know it's true for all of you, you can get way better Bible teaching online than you'll ever get here. As much as I loved what our band did, you'll get way better worship on YouTube than you'll ever get here. Like, the church in its 2,000-odd year history has never had more content available. Our teenagers have never had more content, more apps, more devotional resources, more inspiring sermons and podcasts. I mean, we are just content crazy. But content alone doesn't change us. It's people. Chris has a quote at the bottom of his notes. I don't know who Josh Shipp is, but he says, every young person is one caring adult away from being a success story. Our kids don't need more content. They need adults that will show up and say, how are you doing? they need people that will commit to pray for them as they try to navigate a world, let's be honest, most of us don't have the foggiest, faintest idea about. As we respond to this moment together, what does it look like for you to show up, not because you feel called to it, but because we're stewarding something that Jesus is doing among us? And guys, I am involved, as you know, in several other different spaces and different churches. And do you know, there's hardly a church I know in the UK or Ireland right now that's not in crisis around its children's ministry. Just can't staff it. Just can't find people that would say, yes, I'll do an hour with those ones. That we are not in crisis. That's beautiful. It's amazing. Jamie and Amy have done an amazing job, and I know lots of you serve so faithfully in our kids' environments. But what would it look like to just never have to send a text out ever? We're short this weekend on kids' volunteers. Because we get that actually God's doing something among us that we need to steward. And so I want to really challenge you. Jamie's the best example I've ever seen of someone who was invited into youth ministry but not really interested, and then just dipped his toe in and discovered that it's like, it just makes him come alive. Heard one story of a family this week doing a family devotional in the evening and processing some really difficult stuff with their kids, some stuff that had been going on in their day. And one of the siblings started to quote Jamie's sermon from Noah to his brother. That's someone who doesn't feel called or passionate about it. Because there's a moment for us to respond to together, to say, God, I'll do that thing. I'll serve those ones. And I can't, this is really important. This is not about guilt and not about we're in crisis. We are not. Like, the kids are up there having a blast right now, but there's something going on that I think we would be daft and not want to get involved in. And so two kind of reflections as we come to close. One, maybe it's a moment for you to just get serious with Jesus again. What's he saying to you about your life, the place that you live, the people that you work with? And then secondly, please don't let this moment pass without giving Jamie or Amy or Chris a shout to go, what does it look like for me to be involved once every 5 weeks? That's our team rhythm. Once every 5 weeks, what does that actually look like? What do you need? How do I get around these little ones to help steward what Jesus is doing with us? We are so out of time. What I'd love to do is get our Albania team onto our holy rug. We have a rug up here that's it's really special. It came from IKEA, I think. And come on up, guys. I'm going to get you all to stand in just a minute, but just hold on 1 second. So you guys bunch up on the rug. If you're not on the rug, God doesn't hear our prayers. So you need to make sure you've all got at least the foot on the rug. If there's anybody else in the room that's going on summer mission or heading away anywhere, I don't know if Chris and Leah are here. If they are, they should stand too. But if there's anyone else in the room who's doing like an Exodus team or any other kind of team through the summer, would you just stand wherever you are? I'm not sure if we have any in the room, but... Great, brilliant, wonderful. Okay, so here's what we want to do. We want to pray for all these guys, and we want to pray for ourselves. There's Lee at the back. I want to ask particularly for any of you who feel like, do you know, there is like a God thing on me about just being a mom and dad in church, and you just know that. That sounds weird to some of you, but some of you, it's like, that's just my life. It's just being a parent in the community of faith. If that's you, we'd love to invite you to just gather around these guys or go and lay hands on any of the rest of the guys that are in the room. But for the rest of you, if you're able, will you stand? And can I invite you to, those of you that know and love these guys, come and gather around them. We want to pray for them. Hopefully you've clocked some of those other guys that stood up. Now, guys, if you're going on other teams this summer, just lift your hand up for us just so we can make sure we see you. There's a few of you stood up. Can you guys look around the room and catch the rest of those guys that are doing summer teams and make sure somebody's laying hands on them to pray for them, pray with them? And then for the rest of us, guys, there is a moment of commissioning for us as a community, for you into your workplaces, into your communities, into your in-between spaces. You're not quite totally sure what's going on in your life. And so we just want to welcome the Holy Spirit as he fills us and sends us. This has been his job from the birth of the church, that the Holy Spirit would propel us outward into the world. Just as Christian shared earlier, what it's been like to come alive in Jesus and just find himself being lost, wanting to serve other people. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do what you've always done, to help us love Jesus better and proclaim his goodness to the world. And so, Lord, we pray for these guys that will travel next week. We pray for our friends in the room who will go to all sorts of different places and spaces to represent you to people. Lord, would you equip them, fill them with your Spirit freshly. God, we pray for signs and wonders to follow the proclamation of the goodness of your kingdom coming alive on the earth. And Lord, we pray that you would recommission every single one of us into our everyday, ordinary lives, to our marriages, to our friendships, to our families, to the streets that we live in, to the places that we work, to this quirky, mad little place called Northern Ireland. Lord, would you send us full of hope and faith and love to demonstrate your goodness to the world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.